And last week, we were reminded of the biblical truth that the church is the family of God. We were reminded that church is not an event you attend. Church is a spiritual family that you are a part of. And in God's spiritual family, there are expectations for how God's children will act, and there are expectations for what God's children will do. In other words, the church has specific responsibilities towards each other. We have the responsibility to honor and to treat the older generation with respect, just like we would our own parents. And the older generation has the responsibility to treat the younger generation like they would a sibling, with mutual honor, respect, and love. We saw all of this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. We also learned that the church is responsible for widows who have no family or resources, and that children and grandchildren are responsible for the widows in their own families. We saw this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 16. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul goes on to say in the text that we are looking at today that the church is also responsible for its pastors. And you might be saying this morning, wait a minute. I thought that pastors were the ones who were responsible for the church. And the answer is a resounding yes. Okay, yes, pastors are responsible for the church. Pastors are responsible to lead and to shepherd their congregations. And they lead and shepherd their congregations. How? By loving them and caring for them, by feeding them through the preaching of the Word of God, and by defending the church against false doctrine. So yes, a great responsibility falls on pastors to lead and to shepherd their church. But at the same time, a great responsibility falls on the church to be responsible for its pastors. And before you hear what I'm talking about today, and before you check out of this message, I want to encourage you and to remind you of a few things from previous messages in 1 Timothy. Let's be reminded this morning that church leadership affects every follower of Christ. Church leadership affects every follower of Christ for the good and, unfortunately, sometimes for the bad. And church family, it's imperative that you understand what a pastor is and also what a pastor is not. I said this a few weeks ago, and I want to say it again, and all of this is based on 1 Timothy chapter 3. First of all, we need to understand this morning that a pastor is not a celebrity. A pastor is not a celebrity. Now, he may become one because others make him a celebrity, but that is not the goal of a pastor. The goal of a pastor is not to become a celebrity. His goal is not to become famous. His goal is to make Jesus Christ famous. So a pastor is not a celebrity. A pastor is not an entertainer. A pastor is not a comedian. A pastor is not a YouTube star. A pastor is not a showman. A pastor is not a fashion or a GQ model. A pastor is not a social media influencer. A pastor is not a politician. So what is a pastor? Again, a pastor is a shepherd of people who oversees, leads, and spiritually cares for God's local church. Also, a few more things about pastors. It is biblical for you to have a pastor. John Stott writes, God intends his church to have pastors. And if God intends his church to have pastors, then he intends those in the church to have a pastor. We also need to understand this morning, based on the Word of God, that pastors are called by God. 1 Timothy 3 says that the role of a pastor is a noble task. Pastors are called to lead Christ's church under the authority of Christ. Pastors are called to care for Christ's church. Pastors model the character of Christ. We also need to understand that the role of the pastor is biblical. You see, church leadership is designed by God. The role of the pastor is not something that man made up. The role of the pastor was designed by God and meant to bring God the glory and not the pastor. And lastly, we need to understand, based on the text that we are looking at today, is that the local church plays a major role in the task, call, and the life of the pastor. I'm going to say that again, based on the text that we're looking at today. The local church plays a major role in the task, call, and the life of the pastor. So, church family, this morning, think about this with me, okay? Think about this with me this morning. If church leadership affects every follower of Christ, and the local church plays a major role in the task, call, and the life of the pastor, you as the local church play a role in affecting every follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, amen, amen. Again, here is why I can confidently say this, because of what today's text says. The local church is responsible to properly honor and to provide for its pastors. The local church is responsible to protect and to rebuke its pastors. And the local church is responsible to be patient in ordaining new pastors. Philip Ryken writes in his commentary on 1 Timothy, he says, church government may not seem like a very exciting topic. And I understand that this morning. But he says, but consider what happens when the following instructions are ignored. And the instructions that he's talking about is the text that we're looking at today. So he says, consider what happens when the following instructions are ignored. He says, if ministers are not adequately paid, then they are distracted by worldly cares. If they are falsely accused, then their teaching will be dismissed. If they are not disciplined, then the whole church will fall into disrepute, especially if these men never should have been allowed to become ministers in the first place. In short, if a church fails to practice these biblical responsibilities, its ministry is bound to fall. And to approach this text this morning, church family, I'm going to do something that I did a few weeks ago. I'm going to approach this text this morning like I am, again, a guest preacher in your church. Is that okay? So today I'm talking about pastors, and it can be highly awkward talking about a text that talks about your job description, okay? Some people might take this message and twist it or even misconstrue it and say, well, he's talking about himself, he's elevating himself. And again, please hear my heart this morning that that is not at all what I am doing. You know by now, I've been here now for over two and a half years, something like that, that I believe that the best way to preach the Word of God is to start in a book of the Bible and to work your way through that entire book. That causes us, well, that allows us to see the full counsel of the Word of God. Today's text even talks about rebuking pastors, okay? And if I were not preaching expositionally, I would just barely, you know, just easily kind of slip over that passage of Scripture, okay? But I'm not going to do that. So again, for the next few minutes, view me as I talk about pastors as a guest pastor in your church. And again, to illustrate this morning, I am wearing my guest preacher jacket, all right? My guest preacher jacket. A lot of times, whenever we bring guest preachers in, a lot of times they wear jackets. So today, I am wearing the one jacket that I have, okay? I call this my wedding jacket, my funeral jacket, but also now I call this my guest preacher jacket, okay? So for the next few minutes, as I talk about pastors, view me as a guest preacher in your church. Point number one, the responsibility of the local church to properly honor and provide for its pastors. Again, look at verse 17, where Paul writes, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And what is an elder? I'm glad you asked that question. The word elder that Paul uses here is the Greek word presbyteros. And this word elder is referring to one who oversees and presides over a local New Testament church. You see, the New Testament uses four different words interchangeably to describe church leadership. It uses the word overseer, bishop, elder and pastor. And we need to understand this morning that all of these words, they mean the exact same thing, okay? These words are used to describe those who lead the church, those who preach and teach, and those who shepherd and care for people in local churches. So we need to understand that the word elder is simply another term for pastor. Elder, pastor, these words mean the exact same thing. And one of the main tasks of a pastor is to labor in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that a pastor must be able to teach. And the proper teaching of the Word of God is a laborsome task. As a matter of fact, the word labor that Paul uses here is the Greek word kapiao. And this word labor, it means to work to the point of fatigue or exhaustion. And again, this is one of the main tasks of a pastor, to labor to the point of exhaustion in understanding and proclaiming the Word of God. You see, church family, it takes hours upon hours to understand a text in order to teach that text properly. And if a pastor is not laboring in the Word in order to teach the Word properly, he is not fulfilling his God-called task. And Paul says that pastors who lead well and labor in preaching and teaching, he says, are worthy of double honor. And theologians say that double honor is referring to two types of honor. Number one, financial support. And number two, respect. Here's why. Paul goes on to say, look at verse 18. He says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. And Paul says the exact same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I put this in your outline, where Paul says, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Verse 14, skip down. In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. And who is Paul quoting and saying that pastors who labor in leading, teaching, and preaching should receive their living from the gospel? Well, he's quoting Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 25, and he's quoting Jesus in Matthew 10, and also in Luke chapter 10. So we see this morning that Paul, Moses, and Jesus all say that it is biblical for the church to honor its pastors by financially supporting them for their laborsome work. And theologians say that the second type of honor that Paul is talking about is to respect the role and the task of pastor. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that the task of a pastor, he said, it is a noble task. It is a noble task. The word noble that Paul uses here, it literally translates things like beautiful and excellent, eminent, choice, surpassing, precious, commendable, and even admirable. And church family, this is a great reminder for us this morning to never belittle the task of a pastor or the pastor himself. You see, again, the role is God-designed and God-called. And according to Scripture, it is noble in the eyes of God. And it should be noble, honored, and respected in the eyes of Christians. Over the years, I've had to answer this question what seems like a million times. And the question is this: Caleb, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? And this question, what's interesting about it is that it always comes from people who know that I am a pastor. And it just surprises people whenever I tell them that I make my living by serving and pastoring the church, as does Jermaine and church family. This is the point of the text. Please hear this today. You play a significant and a major role in this. You play a significant and a major role in this. Remember again that I'm wearing my guest preacher jacket, okay? I am speaking to you as a guest. I would say what I'm getting ready to say to you. if I were your pastor or not. You see, church family, when you faithfully and financially support and give to your local church through your tithes and offerings, week in and week out, you are supporting something that is clearly biblical. It is biblical. You financially take part in one of the most biblical things you can do, and that is to help provide the living for the pastors and shepherds who watch over your souls. And church family, this is a significant responsibility for the people of God's church. And church family, this teaching runs from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. And I would say to you today, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to give. Thank you for your generosity to give. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there is great blessing and provision that comes to God's children when they are faithful to give towards God's purposes. Next, we see this in the text, the responsibility of the local church to protect and to, yes, rebuke its pastors. To protect and to rebuke its pastors. Look at verse 19. Paul says, do not admit a charge against an elder. Again, an elder is a pastor, except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. So one thing we know about Ephesus is that Timothy was dealing with a lot of false teachers who were posing as pastors there in Ephesus. So the church would have naturally been on guard against these false teachers, against these false pastors. But at the same time, church family, there would have been good pastors in Ephesus who were leading the church faithfully. And Paul is saying here, in order to protect the reputation of the good pastors in Ephesus, when someone comes with a complaint or an accusation against a pastor, there must be two or three witnesses. Verse 20, he says, as for those who persist in sin, Paul says, notice this, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. And this verse means what it says. This verse means what it says, that if a pastor is caught in sin and it is confirmed by two or three witnesses and the pastor continues in that sin without repentance, then he is to be corrected in front of the entire church congregation. Verse 21, Paul says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. In other words, what Paul is saying is this, is that there is no pastor beyond being called out for his sin. You see, if I were to commit some heinous sin, all right, I was caught in that and I had no remorse and I had no repentance, you as the church would have every right to publicly call me out on it. Same thing for Jermaine. If he were to be caught in some heinous sin, you as the, and he wouldn't repent of that, he had no remorse of that, you as the church would have every right to publicly call him out on his sin. If Billy Graham, whenever he was alive and he were to commit some heinous sin, then the church would have had every right to call him out on it if he refused to repent. You see, church family, the reason we have so many corrupt pastors in the church today is because they were not held accountable for their sin. And church family, this is a major responsibility for you. This is a major responsibility for the church to hold its pastors accountable if they do not repent of their sin. But at the same time, hear what Paul is saying, that the church is to protect its pastors by only bringing accusations against pastors when it is confirmed by two or three witnesses. And this is the model for all church conflict and sin. This is the model for all church conflict and sin. Remember what Matthew 18 says. Matthew 18 is the biblical model for how the church is to deal with conflict and sin. I included Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17 in your outline. And notice what it says. Again, Matthew 18 is the biblical model for how the church is to handle conflict and sin. And Jesus himself said these words, starting in verse 15. He says, if your brother sins against you, you could also say sister. This is your believers in Jesus Christ, okay? Talking to Christians here, talking to believers here. He says, if your brother sins against you, notice what Jesus says. He says, go and tell others, cause conflict in the life of the church, gossip about it, and then post it on social media. Wait a minute. Not what he says, is it? Notice what Jesus says. If your brother, if a believer in Christ, if your brother or sister in Christ sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him. What's it say? Alone. Alone. Jesus says, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen to you, again, here's the biblical model that Paul's getting at. If he doesn't listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Paul is quoting Jesus here. If he refuses to listen to them, notice what he says, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And church family, this goes for pastors and anyone in the life of the church. That if someone sins against you or offends you, biblically, you are to go to that person alone. Everyone say alone. Alone. I mean, think about this. How often have you found out that you have offended someone through someone else? I think that we could probably all raise our hands. That we hear that we have upset someone, or that we have offended someone, or that someone has a beef out towards us. And this happens even in the life of the church, and we hear it through someone else who heard it from someone else, who heard it from this person, and then eventually it got back to you. You see, church family, to tell anyone else that a brother or sister in Christ has offended you, having never gone to the one who offended you by yourself, is sin, and is exactly what Satan would want. In my experience of doing church work now for almost 20 years full time, what I have found is that 99.9% of the time that conflict is resolved in a God-honoring way when believers work out their issues with each other one-on-one, and no one else finds out about it. This is the way that God designed it. And this goes for pastors, but it also goes for everyone in the life of the church. The last point that we see here in this great text, we see the responsibility of the local church to be patient in ordaining pastors. Paul says, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. And the phrase laying on of hands that Paul uses here, this is referring to pastoral ordination. And Paul is telling Timothy not to be quick to appoint a church leader. Here's why. Because if he appointed a church leader wrongly, who was living in sin, Timothy would be just as guilty as the one he ordained. You see, Timothy was held to a high spiritual standard for the men that he ordained into pastoral ministry, and so are we as the church. But then here's this really interesting verse nestled right in between all of this. He says in verse 23, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. And it begs this question, why would Paul mention Timothy's stomach problems and wine at this point in the letter? It seems like this verse is out of context. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny. One theologian said that pastoral ministry was giving Timothy indigestion. This is why Paul mentioned it here. But more than likely, this has to do with what Paul said right before. Notice right before Paul said, keep yourself pure by not ordaining men into ministry who were living in sin. So in other words, Paul is saying, Timothy, even if you use a little bit of wine for your stomach issues, this is not going to make you impure. You see, church family, water during this time period was often polluted, and it carried lots of different diseases. And Paul was assuring Timothy that even if he drank a little wine for his stomach issues rather than the impure water of the day, that he would not be living in sin. But today, okay, today we would simply say, Timothy, go and take some Pepto-Bismol, all right? Or Timothy, go and take some Tums. We have fresh and clean water today. So again, Paul kind of takes this tangent, but he comes back again. So Paul tells Timothy not to be quick to appoint a church leader. Here's why. Verse 24 and 25, he says, the sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. And the NLT says this verse like this, which is a little bit more understandable. And I want to read that verse from the NLT. It says this: remember, the sins of some people are obvious, leading them to certain judgment, but there are others whose sins will not be revealed until later. Verse 25. In the same way, the good deeds of some people are obvious, and the good deeds done in secret will someday come to light. So in other words, Paul is saying that Timothy was not to be quick to appoint church leaders, because if they were living in sin, eventually their sin would be revealed even after they were ordained. And this would not be good for the church. So again, the main point is this, is that the church is responsible for the pastors it ordains. And this is why the church should not be quick to ordain pastors until they have been watched and tested. But church family, on the flip side of this morning, hear what Paul is saying. He is saying this, is that you as the church, okay, hear this, you as the church have the biblical responsibility of recognizing, empowering, and eventually ordaining the next generation of pastors and church leaders. Paul is not saying not to ordain pastors. He's simply saying, take your time with it. And again, this is the point, is that you as the church, we as the church, have the biblical responsibility of recognizing, empowering, and eventually ordaining the next generation of pastors and church leaders. This is where you and I come in. It's so important. I love what Mark Dever says. He writes, in the Bible, the local church, a community where people are known, their conversion is testified to, and their gifts are witnessed, is the appropriate place to make that kind of heavy statement about God's gifting and calling in somebody's life. He says, raising up leaders is part of the church's commission. So church family, do you see the responsibility that you have in this? Do you see the responsibility that you have in this? Again, as I said earlier, hear this, church family. The local church plays a major role in the task, call, and the life of the pastor and even future ministers. And church leadership affects every follower of Christ. Therefore, hear this, you as the local church play a role in affecting every follower of Christ by the pastors and the leaders that you raise up in the life of the church. Church family, this is why it is so important to bring our kids to church and to invest in the next generation. Church family, these kids that we are ministering to here week in and week out on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and all of our activities and all of our camps in the summers and fall festivals and things like that, all of these kids that we have the privilege, and students and teenagers, all of these kiddos that we have the privilege of ministering to here week in and week out, these children, these teenagers, they are future Sunday school teachers. They are future missionaries who will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. They are future evangelists. They are future ministry leaders in the life of this church and other local churches, future leaders who will lead things like Operation Christmas Child, future ministry leaders who will lead things like our local food pantry, future deacons, future teachers who will take the gospel to the local school system, future business people who will take the gospel to their workplaces, future doctors and nurses who will take the gospel to the hospitals and to the clinics, future parents who will bring the gospel to their kids, future college students who will take the gospel to their campuses, and future pastors who will lead and shepherd local churches. And church family, you have a significant role and responsibility in all of this, in the leaders and pastors and future leaders and pastors that we raise up as a church. What an amazing responsibility that we have, right? What an amazing responsibility that we have. We have the responsibility to raise up the next generation of spiritual leaders, whether they are in full-time ministry or not. Why? So that they too would point other people in the future, and even now, to Jesus Christ. And church family, why is it so important to raise up the next generation to point people to Jesus? Why is that so important for us? Why is it so important to raise up the next generation to point people to Jesus? Here's why, church family. Because Jesus is the only hope for the world. Jesus is the only hope for the world today. And I promise you this. Jesus will be the only hope for the world tomorrow and in the future. Jesus is the only hope. He is the greatest pastor, shepherd, who has ever lived. And again, this is why it is so important to raise up the next generation of people who will point others to Jesus. And who's responsible for that? You are. I am. What an amazing responsibility that we have. Jesus is the greatest shepherd, pastor, who's ever lived. Jesus said in John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is why we point people to Jesus. This is why we train kids and students and teenagers to point people to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the greatest shepherd who has ever lived. He's the greatest pastor who has ever lived. He lays down his life for the sheep. And why did Jesus lay down his life for the sheep? To pay the penalty for sin. And everyone has sinned. All of the world has sinned. And the only way that the world can be forgiven of their sin is for us, you and I, and for us to train others, little kiddos, teenagers, to point people to Jesus so that they too may have their sin forgiven. So in closing today, before we stand up and sing a song of worship, the invitation is this. If you never have, we're pointing you to Jesus today. Jesus is the only way to have your sin forgiven. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, come and do that today. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What are you saved from? You're saved from the penalty of your sin. So come to Jesus today and believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. Next, we tell the world about the greatest shepherd who has ever lived. In church family, it starts right here. It's why it's so important to bring our kiddos, our neighbors' kids. Go and get them all and bring them here. Teach them about Jesus so that they too can tell the world about Jesus Christ. And then lastly, may we worship Jesus, the good shepherd, the greatest pastor who has ever lived. Would you pray with me this morning?